Larry Stein here, KPTZ, and I promised the Port Townsend Film Festival, and it's coming up, starting in person on the 22nd. It starts a day early this year on Thursday, the 22nd, and you can always get information directly, and that's the best place to go is ptfilmfest.com. You can learn a lot more about the stuff we're going to talk about right now, but I'm going to feature an interview I did with Danielle McClellan, the new director of the Port Townsend Film Festival. She came here at the end of last year, started officially on January 1st, had a very nice transition period working with Jeanette Force, who's been the director of the festival for the whole life of our station. We've worked with Jeanette for so many years, and we appreciate all the enthusiasm and great programming she did for us. And now we've got Danielle to head the festival, and you'll hear that Danielle is quite an energetic and enthusiastic and approachable person, really. So I urge you to talk to her when you see her around the festival. She's new to town, but she's sort of not new to town because her parents had retired to Port Townsend. She visited them a lot here, so she knew the community. But she had a long career before our festival in Bloomington, Indiana, where she was the director of an old movie theater turned into a community arts and culture center in Bloomington. And as the administrator of that organization, she also was the founder of the Pride Film Festival for Bloomington, Indiana, the first of its kind in that community. And it's ongoing now and stronger than ever. Danielle learned about the opening here and saw her connections to Port Townsend, and it sounded like a natural fit. Everybody's enthusiastic. And unfortunately, Danielle had to come in here at a time when we've been all closed down for in-person events like this by the pandemic. So when I sat down with Danielle in the Baker Block building where the Port Townsend Film Festival has an office on the fourth floor, we talked about that looking back the last few years in which there were efforts to try to get some in-person film experience out there. Otherwise, of course, the film festivals did a pretty good job of virtual festivals. But we talked about looking back at the difficult last couple of years and looking forward here. Danielle McClelland, the executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival.
In 2021, the festival was able to show two in-person movies on Taylor Street. They're very disappointed that weather closed down the third one that had been planned. So really, other than those screenings and the screenings that we've been doing as part of our PTFF focus events here in the Balcony Theater in the Baker Block building, this will be the first in-person gatherings that we've had in nearly 3 years. It's been a big lift to get the whole community around the film festival back together and remembering how we've done this in the past. And of course,
people who really love the festival have been using the virtual festivals because that happened for Women in Film and the main festival for a couple of years. But
absolutely,
everybody who's been around the festival knows that there's nothing like being there with everybody in person and having the filmmakers come into town and be very excited and happy to talk about their work with the viewers who just lap it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got over 24 filmmakers who are on their way, figuring out how they're going to manage to get themselves out to the Olympic Peninsula. So we're very excited about that, to see all the different filmmakers back in town. It was always a big thrill for me to bring people from New York and San Francisco, especially to Bloomington, Indiana, which many of them had never heard of before.
Looking at the program, there are so many interesting and notable events that are part of the festival. And one thing that the festival is really proud of over time is the special guests. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to introduce the special guests for this festival.
I'm thrilled to introduce them. First and foremost, our first honoree is John Cooper, who is the longtime festival director of the Sundance Film Festival. He was involved with Sundance Film Festival for the last 3 decades. He started out as a volunteer and ultimately served 10 years as the festival director. So he has had a huge impact on independent film throughout the whole world. And Sundance, of course, is sort of the iconic film festival that we all sort of pay attention to and how they're doing things and what their policies are.
Yeah.
So he has had a huge impact on creating a vital, thriving independent cinema in this country. And we're so honored to have him involved with the Port Townsend Film Festival. He isn't just a special guest. He's been generously donating his time and effort to help us look at the way Port Townsend runs as a film festival and to think about the future of how film festivals are changing all over the country. So he's been acting kind of as a generous consultant for us as well. So.
Is he going to be here for several days of the festival?
He'll be here for the whole festival.
Wow, because often the special guest comes in and does their appearance and then has to go off to other work.
Part of his interest is that he's aware of Port Townsend as a general community and how interesting it is. And then our second special guests are actually two special guests. They're Jared and Jerusa Hess, who are the writer-director team that created Napoleon Dynamite and are responsible for a variety of other fantastic comedies like Nacho Libre and Gentlemen Broncos. They're always working on very irreverent and yet touching and important films. Right. So we're so thrilled that they're able to join us here. I know that Napoleon Dynamite is a very important film for people from the Pacific Northwest, for people of my generation especially, who are coming of age as it came into being. Yeah. And it really, I think, touches, because of its setting in the 80s, like a whole bunch of generations all at the same time.
That's right. I mean, it was influential for me, and I was grown up, well grown up. But it opened your mind. It was so unusual and so different from everything else. Mm-hmm. I know a guy
who's stuck up sweet. What are you drawing?
A liger.
What's a liger?
It's my favorite animal. It's like a lion and a tiger mixed.
Why are you so sweaty?
I've been practicing some dance moves.
It looks like there's a couple of chances to screen it. There's an inside screening with them, and then there's an outdoor family screening.
Yes. So if you're a festival pass holder, you'll be able to see it in person inside of the American Legion at 6:30 on Saturday. And it is also screening on Sunday for free on Taylor Street. So the question and answer session with Jared and Jerusa will be in the American Legion Hall, because it's an inside space where we can all hear one another. Sure. And we haven't had absolute confirmation yet whether or not they'll still be able to be at the Sunday night screening. They're trying to work out their travel plans so that can happen.
Good. Well, based on past experience, the special guests fall in love with this town, and they want to stay as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So John Cooper is going to be here to talk about film festivals, but he's also going to be the person to talk after a fairly recent Robert Redford film. And he's, of course, very involved with Robert Redford.
Because of John's long-term involvement with Sundance, he's also been close to Robert Redford in all those years. So in trying to think about what we might put on screen as sort of an anchor for John to talk about while he's here at the festival, he was really interested in bringing forward All Is Lost, which is a 2013 film that stars Robert Redford and only Robert Redford, and we thought would be also a very fitting film since it is about a resourceful solo sailor who encounters a crash in the middle of the ocean with no real hope of survival and has to deal with all of the challenges and the facing of his own mortality. And Cooper was able to talk to us a lot about how proud Redford was about making the film, how meaningful it was for him to, at that pinnacle of his stardom, to do a smaller film that they knew would not be like a big blockbuster.
Right.
In speaking to Robert Redford about Port Townsend. Robert Redford was very thrilled and honored that we wanted to show that film, and so gave his blessing for us to show it and for Cooper to talk about some of the experiences that they had shared as the film was being developed and brought out at Sundance. Yeah.
So it's a film that didn't get that much exposure, really, not a lot of chance for people to see it for sure in theaters. I'm sure they can see it streaming somewhere, but something like that you need to see on a big screen.
Oh, yeah. It's just an amazing, amazing acting performance. It was described as a reaffirmation that Robert Redford is one of cinema's greatest actors, and an affirmation that the writer-director of it, J.C. Chandor, is one of its most promising talents. So,
but the core of the festival is usually young filmmakers, sometimes not so young, but definitely not that experienced, but sometimes beginning or young filmmakers who are so enthusiastic about their work, and they are so happy that we want to talk to them about it. After covering this film festival for the whole life of the radio station, it's kind of a thing that just blows me away every time it happens. They're coming here and they're getting such a reception, and they're so happy to talk and so open. So,
like, I knew of the Port Townsend Film Festival not only because of my connection to the place, but through my connection to other filmmakers around the country. The reputation of the Port Townsend Film Festival is very vibrant and very alive amongst the filmmaker community, primarily because the reception that they have received over the years, the reputation that Jeanette Force and the board and staff over the years have developed here, is one of an incredibly smart, well-informed audience that wants to talk and engage with the filmmakers, can be, like, cool. As opposed to, you know, losing their mind because there's a celebrity in their midst. Yeah. So people who just people of all levels of the filmmaking industry.
During the festival, for the filmmakers who are here for the whole festival, it's not uncommon for you to go to a restaurant that you like to go to, and there, oh, there's that person sitting over there in the corner just having a meal with a friend.
Yeah. So the reputation is really, really strong, and I think it mostly has to do with the fact that the audiences, the people who come to the film festival, really want to think about film, want to talk with the people who are making film, who want to learn from them and share their own experiences with them. And that's what makes it special for the filmmakers.
I'm talking to Danielle McClellan today, the executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, having its first in-person film festival since 2019, if I'm right.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. When I look at the festival, sometimes you have a real strong feeling that it's a documentary film festival, but it is not just a documentary film festival, but it always has such a strong presence of documentary. So I thought maybe we should talk about the documentary end first.
I think that the shining achievements in documentary here at the film festival stem largely from our program director, Jane Julian, who is a long-term programmer of multiple festivals, but she really specializes in documentary. So we have about a 60-40 mix, 60% documentary to 40% narrative. There are all kinds of documentaries. Which should I talk about first?
Well, one thing that struck me first is there's definitely one or two that strike home that are connected to the native peoples of our region, especially Lummi Island. And that looked really interesting. Maybe you can just talk about those films.
Documentaries that we have for the film festival this year from Indigenous filmmakers include Daughter of a Lost Bird by Brooke Swaney, which is an amazing story. It's a feature-length documentary, an amazing story of a young woman who has grown up disconnected from her own Indigenous past and discovers it later in life and then comes to know her Indigenous family. So it's a really interesting perspective. I know for myself, as someone who identifies primarily as white, to watch someone's transformation and listen to the questions and examination that they have of their own privilege and identity as that shifts and changes. And it will be shown in conjunction with a very local Indigenous film called Long Line of Ladies, which was filmed not too far from here, and traces a girl and her community preparing for a coming of age ceremony, and is very, very beautiful and wonderful. And I'm just so excited to have that represented in our film festival.
Yeah. It's taken a long time for me to believe that I belong places. But when someone says, "You are Lummi," it's very hard for me. I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't know what that means. What I know is that I'm Chattisgatum's daughter.
This desire to be recognized as Native, but what is Native anymore? Like, if you are a Native American person living in an urban environment who's never set foot on any kind of reservation, knows nothing about your culture and heritage, what is that nativeness? What is it? I don't know. I'm not saying that there's not a right to want it, but it's elusive. It's elusive.
And if we don't know who we are, we can't do anything about it.
And there are always are striking documentaries about natural phenomena, and of course about climate change, but also about just humans dealing with the natural surroundings and taking on big challenges, mm-hmm. or recognizing very subtle small things. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that there are a lot of good films that happen in natural surroundings.
Yeah, one of the strengths always of the film festival's programming is just amazing cinematography that focuses on the natural world. So mm-hmm. whether it's a narrative feature or a short or a documentary, there's generally always going to be beautiful surroundings in which the story is taking place.
When something happens that's out of your control, it changes the way that you think about your invincibility.
Just get it off.
Same pain, no bad.
First things that go through your mind is he paralyzed?
This whole thing is gamble. If it was easy and if it was guaranteed, it would have been done 30 years ago.
If you look at the map, it says very clearly these are uncharted waters. So the risks are enormous.
Things do go wrong at sea, you can turn into hell pretty quickly.
Big wave surfing, it's a numbers game. If you don't end up getting some serious waves, you're not being taken seriously.
Think of giving it up then?
No. It didn't go through your head.
On our way. We'll see you all in person in a couple months.
Once she told me that she was going to be the first woman to hike the Ice Age Trail, the first black person, I know like a lot of people are concerned about her.
...1,200 miles is hard enough in good weather in the summertime. But in the middle of a Wisconsin winter, you know, this is one of the coldest winters I can remember.
It was 0 degrees when we went to bed last night.
Now, fortunately, she's got Diggins with her.
When I saw Emily throw out there that she was looking to borrow a sled dog, I thought, yeah, this would be perfect.
They have formed this bond.
Anything to say, Diggs?
It's going to be hard for her to let go of Diggins.
My lungs hurt. My body hurts. And my brain's just like, I'll never make it out of here.
The other part of the film festival, maybe the 40 of the 60-40 that you described, is the dramatic narratives, the feature-length narrative films. As always, there are films from lots of different cultures in this program. Mm-hmm. The great thing about seeing a film festival like this is you get a peek into a little experience of cultures that you've never seen the inside of before.
Sort of the range that we have in the narrative features can be described as ranging from like a modern family drama / comedy set in the British Isles and United Kingdom, where a young person is coming of age and discovering sexuality and dealing with all of the responsibilities and changes that coming of age happen, but that's very, very present day. Mm-hmm. Artists. Another contemporary film is Run, Woman, Run, which is another Indigenous filmmaker that follows a single mother who's trying to find new meaning in her life and to break sort of cycles of long-term abuse of herself through her eating habits and the inspiration that she finds from the legend of a Native American runner. Then there's The Forger, which is set in the 1940s in Berlin, talking about World War II. So there's probably seven different countries represented in the lineup of films, just in the feature films selected.
There's one that I know is maybe a little bit controversial that you give a little bit of a warning in the catalog about, which is I'll Show You Mine.
Yes, it is in fact one of my favorites.
Right, I've heard you talk about it, yeah.
So this is just an amazing, amazing acting tour de force. The writing is so excellent that you don't even really notice it being writing. It feels very much like you are simply watching real people communicate in a way that's so compelling you can't look away. But it is essentially two people talking about sex and sexuality for an hour and a half. Now, I thought in reading the description that this was not going to be the film for me. I was really, really busy the night that I was watching it, and I could not tear myself away. Yeah. So it really is just an absolutely amazing achievement in writing, directing, and acting. That is just one of those films where you're able to see what independent cinema can do that the studio industry cannot, which is really, really compel you to think about your own life.
And then I was like, who the f*** am I to judge myself? You know, like, why not just ride the wave? And if I'm attracted to her because of who she is, I'm going to just follow that. You know, I mean, surely you've surprised yourself when you've like crossed over sexual boundaries or something.
I mean, of course, I've met women in my life that I am drawn to, but I wouldn't imagine crossing that barrier. So I'm wondering how, you know, coming from where you come from with a dad that's homophobic, how do you cross all those multiple lines that society sets out for you and family set out for you?
You just cross it?
For me, it feels like Everest. For you, it's just like, oh, crossing the street.
Truly.
Mm.
So remind us, Danielle, how do we do the festival? What are the different ways to get in the door and get in the swing of it?
There is something new and different this year in that the festival itself is actually a hybrid festival, meaning we're doing both in-person and online streaming. So one can actually do a combination of both if you like. You can buy a pass to just the in-person festival. You can buy a pass to just the online festival. Or you can, in fact, buy a little bit of both and enjoy the films that you want in person and enjoy more of the films than you've ever been able to see by having the online streaming available for the week following the in-person festival. For your standard, I'm going to come to the in-person festival. We say first and foremost, yippee! Come downtown, be part of the party. It's time for the film festival. You can purchase your passes online. You would pick them up on Thursday, the first day of the festival, here on Taylor Street. The hospitality/check-in area is actually right next to Coldwell Banker Best Homes on Taylor Street, across from La Cucina. You would pick up your pass, and your pass enables you entry into all of the five indoor venues. Taylor Street Movies on the Street are free and open to everybody. If you want to see a film, we encourage you to look at the schedule online and pick the films you want to come to. Now, some of the venues are smaller than others, so it's possible that you won't get your first pick. So we've arranged it so that of the five indoor venues, two of the venues start the movie at 9 o'clock or on the hour. Two of the venues start at 15 minutes after the hour. And the fifth venue starts at half an hour. So if, for example, you wanted to see a movie at the Starlight, you go to the line on Taylor Street to see if you are in time to get into the Starlight for that film. The ushers there will count up to the 40 people that we can let into the Starlight. And then once those people are in line, everybody else is directed to, okay, go to your second choice. So you do have to do some moving around. If you do not want to do that moving around type of thing, there is an option for you. You can buy one of our higher level passes. The concierge and patron level passes gives you the option to actually choose your films in advance and guarantees you a seat. So you would know for certain that you wanted to go to that specific film at the Starlight and you were going to get in. For all of the passes except the concierge, mm-hmm. and patron passes, mm-hmm. lining up is the way that it works. So many people have told me that one of their favorite things about the festival is standing in line, right. having conversations with people at that moment,
right.
As they're waiting for the venue to open, about the films that they've been watching.
Right. It's the waiting room where you can talk, mm-hmm. talk about what you've seen, what was good.
And because you're always standing next to somebody new and different, the conversations are new and interesting, yeah. too. Yeah. So I think it's a wonderful experience.
Well, I've got to tell you, we are ready for this film festival. The mask policy, I think you mentioned to me off mic. Remind people of the mask policy.
Yes. So we are requiring people to wear a mask except when they're eating and drinking. So there won't be any interference whatsoever for the popcorn or the beer. But we do want you to put your mask back on since we're all going to be hanging out together for 4 days. We want to make sure nobody gets sick.
Yeah. Here we are, Port Townsend, 23rd Annual Port Townsend Film Festival, running in person from September 22nd through 25th. Online, it extends to October 2nd. The online period is September 22nd to October 2nd.
And just to clarify, the dates are in person, September 22nd to September 25th, and then online, September 26th through October 2nd.
Danielle McClellan, new director of the festival. We're happy to have you here and happy to have your enthusiasm here with us.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, for having me on and for giving me the opportunity to share everything we've been working on for the last 9 months with the community.
Thanks to Danielle McClelland and the Port Townsend Film Festival. The best way to get information and tickets and schedule is to go to the Port Townsend Film Festival website, ptfilmfest.com. This is KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend.